We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Teams I'm talking to believe that the Bills and the Chiefs are threats here. These are two AFC contenders who are vying in this arms race. Problem is they don't have a lot of money, just a couple million in cap space each. And this is a player who will want a deal most likely, commensurate with his skill set, has the option to take some free agent visits here to meet teams in person and see what's what. But there will be a lot of teams that will at least kick the tires on this and call. My sense is Hopkins would be open to a reunion with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland.
Seems like the Browns are coming up a little bit more and more in this conversation with DeAndre Hopkins. So I reached out to Jeff Lloyd, our guy out in Cleveland, who does the Locked On Browns podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_LG_Lloyd, LJ_Lloyd. And Jeff joins us on the Western Hotline right now. Jeff, always good to talk to you. It's Sal and Joe. Welcome back to WGR in Buffalo.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing great here. I can't speak for Joe. I think Joe's doing good. Joe's getting married
next
week.
Yeah. The weather's great. It's 80 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, right? I mean, how can you not be doing well, right?
Yeah. Married in a week or so. So, yeah, just some nerves then.
It's all good. We're figuring out fun ways to approach the wedding here coming up. But in the meantime, we're monitoring this DeAndre Hopkins situation. You just heard Jeremy Fowler there from ESPN talk about the Browns. It is a team that I keep hearing more and more about, and obviously the tie with Deshaun Watson. Okay, so I guess what's your read of if it could happen, and what do you feel about that possibly happening?
Well, it's when you have a situation like this, you know, with a player, you know, who becomes available late in the process, you know, what is normally the first thing you do? You try to connect him to either, you know, coaches he's been with, obviously players he's been with. We don't think he's going to New England to work with Bill O'Brien again anytime soon, obviously. Bill O'Brien is the one that sent him packing out of Houston to Arizona. Deshaun Watson, look, it speaks for itself. The two of them had some fantastic success together. Nuke Hopkins was an all-pro wide receiver playing with Deshaun Watson. The Browns have shown the ability to be big game hunters so far, whether it was the Zadarius Smith move, obviously, you know, going after a defensive tackle, Dalvin Tomlinson, a team that is very, very active, continues to, you know, try to turn over every stone possible to improve the roster to hopefully get back to the playoff success that they saw in 2020. There's issues with the fact that he comes in and right away he's the oldest wide receiver in the room. He's a full 2 years older than Amari Cooper. The money, look, the Browns can make the money happen. They didn't really work much contracts to this point this year. They can still do Miles Garrett. They can still work on some of the other contracts they had to. If they had to create the cap space, they will have more cap space come Friday once Jadeveon Clowney and John Johnson III, that money comes off of their books. I just don't know how you squeeze in another 100-plus targets right now. Amari Cooper's season last year, first in Cleveland, was fantastic. Really difficult spot to be in where your first 11 games, you're going to play with the backup quarterback. Then you are now going to try to, you know, mesh and develop a relationship with a guy who has a great track record on the field, and Deshaun Watson. Late in the season, weather was a little bit of a factor. Certainly Deshaun was rusty after almost, you know, more than a year and a half layoff. But you bring Hopkins in here, the Browns have already made five wide receiver moves in the last two off seasons, whether it was Amari Cooper, whether it was Elijah Moore, whether it was drafting David Bell, Cedric Tillman, Marquise Goodwin. They have done a lot to this room already. The only holdover essentially to this point is Donovan Peoples-Jones. But the Browns have set this room up for the present with Amari Cooper being the number one. Donovan Peoples-Jones, this is his contract year. And to this point, everything looks and warrants that this is the player that the Browns should extend. A former sixth-round pick who has gotten to this point now where he has really developed as a player. Elijah Moore, there was a lot of untapped potential, a lot of things that didn't get done in New York due to the quarterback issues there. You have Marquise Goodwin, and I'm not saying that would make or break anything, but he comes in as a true vertical threat, a true speed receiver, something that DeAndre Hopkins has never been. You have young players and David Bell, a possession guy, going into year two. Cedric Tillman, the biggest wide receiver in the room. it just makes for a really, really difficult decision because you're basically saying I'm going to dwarf the growth of Donovan Peoples-Jones. Elijah Moore, as much as they were excited about getting him, that's automatically going to cut into targets that were meant for him. Where does it leave the two young kids, Tillman and David Bell, guys you're grooming for the future of that room? I just don't know necessarily how it works. Look, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't want to make much money and DeAndre Hopkins understands that he's just going to be a part of a wide receiver room, then maybe he would have more interest in the Cleveland Browns. I just don't know how essentially it works for the Browns because they, I mean, we know now who the six wide receivers are that are making this roster. And I'm not sure that they're going to go and just basically create this much upheaval as, you know, they are basically six, seven, you know, because remember, they're going to training camp a little bit earlier this year because they have the Hall of Fame game. So I'm not sure they're ready to just basically uproot this entire room and basically reinvent it on the fly here before training camp starts in 6 weeks.
How much weight do you think Deshaun Watson will carry in this and whether or not they actually get him or even chase him in the first place?
I'm not sure it does or it doesn't. I mean, you got to keep in mind, this relationship, they haven't been together in a while, obviously. You know, Nuke Hopkins obviously went on to Arizona. You know, Deshaun, you got to factor in 2020, there was no Nuke Hopkins. Then the year and a half, he was out of the league before playing with the Browns last year. It's easy to connect names in this scenario, but I mean, you're going back here, you know, three, four seasons since these guys have played together. You know, Deshaun trying to basically carve out for himself, you know, the one thing everybody said, he was a really talented player, wasn't really part of a very winning franchise. Obviously that's something he wants here. You know, Nuke at turning 31, you know, you look at success of wide receivers 31 years of old or older over the last few years, and it's not a great track record. If Deshaun, you know, he could say, I want it to happen, but there's a million other factors as far as, you know, the ownership wants it, as well as not the front, the general manager wants it, the coach wants it. And there is the fact that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins probably has other teams that could be interested who have probably a more clearer path to the playoffs, to possibly championship games. And everybody wants to seem to keep bringing up AFC teams. You got to think there's an NFC team out there. That's definitely kicking the tires here and in contacts with, you know, Nuke Hopkins. And the other thing is the NFC path, you know, for a team for him, he could see a clearer path for him, maybe making a big difference for said NFC team and maybe getting that team to the Super Bowl. The AFC, I mean, it's just so loaded. Anything, minor thing could happen to any team, one injury, two injury. And all of a sudden that entire, you know, conference can get shifted because there is so many viable contenders in the AFC this year.
I also saw in your Twitter feed, you know, that you think that maybe he's just not quite the player he was, right? I mean, let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins as the player from that standpoint. At his age, he had the suspension. You know, what do you think he is at this point in his career, Jeff?
Well, look, for me, the first things first. Look, when a player gets popped for PEDs, doesn't that usually kind of tell us the tale? Once you start doubting yourself, and look, DeAndre Hopkins is fantastic as he's been in the NFL. The one thing, it has never been based on, you know, his overall athleticism. He's never been the fastest guy. You know, he's never been the quickest guy. Is he a fantastic guy at his craft? Absolutely. You know, guys put up Hall of Fame numbers to this point. But it starts to slow down, and it slows down quickly. You know, and even Deshaun Watson, oh, but he has the greatest catch radius I've ever seen. That's usually not the best compliment you want to give to a wide receiver. You know, route running, we talk about Stephon Diggs, players like that. There's so many other facets we talk about. Catch radius isn't one of them normally. But with him, you know, for me, that is creates some fear. It does. And over the last couple of years, his numbers have dwindled down. Reception total up. Yards per reception down. His last two seasons combined, he has less explosive plays than Amari Cooper or Donovan Peoples-Jones. So there are some signs that, you know, he is slowing down. Does that mean he's done? Does it mean it's over? No. But for a team that thinks they have their room settled for the present and for the future, now all of a sudden you're going to change that entire plan based for a guy that maybe you're hoping has a great 2023 and you have no idea what he has after that.
What do you think, Joe? I mean, where are you on him as a player?
I mean, I don't think he's as dominant as he was a couple years ago, but his numbers were really good for Arizona last year, especially when Murray played. But yeah, Jeff, like the one warning shot, or a couple warning shots maybe, that have occurred in the last couple of years, I don't know how easily Hopkins ties into these guys, but it's always a risk when you bring in a receiver this age. I'm thinking of Julio Jones and A.J. Green, right? Like in the last couple of years, those are guys that other teams thought, oh yeah, there's a couple years left in here, and then they showed up and they realized, oh, there was really nothing left.
Yeah, and then it creates the awkward scenario of, you know, now you're taking him off the field. And, you know, if you're taking him off the field, where does that leave the relationship between you and said player? And the Browns kind of went through this last year, obviously, with Jadeveon Clowney, a guy who had a great year for them in 2021. So they went from $9.5 million to $14 million. They did not get the same version in 2022, became a little bit of a malcontent. Some of the younger players chose to side with Jadeveon Clowney, which made situations for them tougher within the locker room. It's one of those things where, you know, if you think you are all the way there, Buffalo, Kansas City, if you think this is just one more option that can maybe get us over the top, it makes a lot of sense. You know, the Browns, a lot of this and their success this year is going to be predicated on, does this defense come together like they think they can with new defense coordinator Jim Schwartz? You know, I think that's the overall, you know, biggest success factor for the Cleveland Browns here. Do they have enough of wide receiver right now? Yes, I think they do. I think a lot of people are sleeping on the player Elijah Moore can be. I think there's a path where Elijah Moore could lead the Browns in receptions in 2023 because he's such a gadgety guy. You can create a lot of manufacturer touches for him. So with a player like it's interesting and it's a tough spot. Obviously, you know, in the Browns, you get a lot of fan pressure. But a lot of times when the Browns have dabbled in these types of moves in the past, they end up getting, you know, a version that is not what they expected in a player from the past. And this would be one where it's going to really cause some damage because you're going to tell some young players who have promising futures, you're not going to play as much. A guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones is now in an awkward spot where this is his contract year. He automatically goes from a number two wide receiver to possibly a number four wide receiver, you know, basically messing him all up, which says things to like David Bell and Cedric Tillman, like, look, you guys may be here, you may be working your butts off, but we think you're easily replaceable. Just it creates a lot more questions for the next few years. And most of what Cleveland does with the present and the future in mind.
Jeff Lloyd joining us on the West Hur Hotline. Let's talk about the Browns overall. Big picture for them in 2023. Kevin Stefanski, 3 years ago now, wins AP Coach of the Year. 11 wins. Since then, 15-19, haven't made the playoffs. How big of a year is this for him? If they do not make the playoffs, are they visiting, maybe moving on from Kevin Stefanski?
It would depend on what the record is, but this is a tough scenario. Look, Kevin Stefanski alone did not make the call on bringing in Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the front office was involved. Obviously, ownership is going to have to sign off before you hand somebody $238 million guaranteed. But who ownership's not going anywhere, so that's not going to be the issue. It's a lot easier to find a head coach in that circumstances. So it is tough in the fact that I think Kevin Stefanski, and he's done a fantastic job. He truly is. You know, there's times where, you know, play calling becomes, you know, questionable. And I think, you know, anybody who covers like we do and as much as we do, when we watch and we say, oh, we know it's coming and it comes, that certainly does not help. But I think overall, this is a guy that you think should be here for a long time. He does a fantastic job. He's involved in his community, squeaky clean guy. This is the kind of guy you hope will be your head coach for 10 years. But the bottom line, it does come down to wins and losses. The AFC North, look, Cincinnati is not going anywhere anytime soon. The fact that they can't really, you know, get their defense the way they like it doesn't really matter because Joe Burrow and the weapons on offense are just that good. Baltimore, you think maybe they should return to a couple of years ago, the type of team they were, now that the entire Lamar Jackson situation is handled. Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They battle every single year. And until they're truly not a contender, you have, you know, because for me, it's always, I think I'm ready to write Pittsburgh off. And then I'm reminded of how much of a quality coach I think Mike Tomlin is. And then I remind myself, well, if we think Mike Tomlin's that good, obviously his team's going to be, you know, in it. For the Browns, it's going to be about what they look like this year. Because again, with the AFC, there's going to be some teams with some decent records. There might be a 10-7 team that just isn't going to make the playoffs this year. It's unfortunate. But the question would be, is how would that be viewed if you were a 10-7 team? Cleveland Browns team didn't make the playoffs, but your team did go 10-7.
How confident is Cleveland, the fan base, media, whatever, in Deshaun Watson returning to Deshaun Watson pre-suspension form? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it. You know, he missed a lot of time. You know, where is he now coming back? What can he be again? How confident are people, or is this something that they truly kind of have to see and they're a little bit, you know, worried about it, especially considering the contract he signed?
There's no question. There is no question. And you go back to the 2020 season that everybody saw. It was just statistically amazing for a team that was, you know, so poor everywhere else. They got quarterback play that was, you know, on an all-pro level, you know. So the fact that he was that good, for us, what we're trying to say is say you can't get 2020 again. And look, you can talk about any player ever, you know, okay, well, you know, you look at what his best is. Okay, well, you know, you don't say essentially that that's an anomaly, but okay, that was his best season ever. But what is okay? Is 95% of what he did in 2020 okay? Is 90% going to be enough for this team to contend to win a division, contend to host a playoff game? And I think it probably falls somewhere between the 85% to the 90%. This team has a ridiculously good offensive line. In addition to the six wide receivers, we talked about David Njoku. They brought in a former Texans tight end that Deshaun has a relationship in Jordan Akins, another big athletic guy that they can match with David Njoku. We all know the type of player that Nick Chubb is, but a lot of this will be predicated on how well the defense does. And look, they did make a lot of moves, but what we see a lot of times with defenses that make a lot of moves is you just don't go out week one and it's there. You know, defense, it takes a lot more time to gel because there has to be a lot more blind faith and understanding, you know, in developing relationships. Like, all right, if this guy runs this slant, I know exactly where my guy is going to be here. So, yes, I can cheat. I can take a step back to worry about something behind me. It's just something you can't do and replicate, you know, in training camp. And they don't take enough reps, obviously, in preseason games to establish it. But I think if the Browns can get, you know, Deshaun Watson somewhere between 85% to 90% of that 2020 version, that is good enough to conceivably win the AFC North as long as their defense can come around like everybody believes they should. And it does come down to the talent on the defense, and it certainly does come down to the fact that you brought in an absolute proven commodity in Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz. I mean, I like Jim Schwartz. He's a good coordinator. He was here. I mean,
Yep.
Right? I mean, Joe, He always did nice things with the Bills defense.
Always has above average defenses, like right. at the baseline.
I think just coaching alone, they should be improved, right?
Yeah. Jeff, one fantasy question before you get out of here. Nick Chubb, he's being drafted and he's going like, what, running back 6 through 10? I think I'm going to end up with a lot of him. I wonder your thought on like what, how high that could go for him. He's a guy that's had 1,000 yards like every year. So, you know, a big season wouldn't be a stunner. But, like, number one in the league type season. I mean, his efficiency metrics are off the charts. Sometimes you'll hear, like, he's got the best efficiency metrics in, like, football history for a running back. And now that Kareem Hunt's gone, shouldn't the volume, well, I guess can the volume go up? Because, again, it's not like he hasn't been a workhorse already.
The only thing that's really ever held Nick Chubb back as far as, you know, fantasy purposes is the receiving aspect of it. But you look at it, and the Browns right now have moved on from their number two running back from last season in Kareem Hunt. They have moved on from their number three running back in D'Ernest Johnson. There is going to be a little bit of a shift here, though. This team is not going to run the ball as much as they have. And obviously, look, when you make that investment in a player like Deshaun Watson, that's your ultimate goal, is you obviously want to start throwing the football more. But nothing's been done yet as far as, and, you know, they have Jerome Ford who's going into his second year. He had a nice summer last year for the Browns, had 8 carries in the regular season. And look, you know, Jerome Ford could be fantastic in the NFL. He could not be much in the NFL. 8 carries is not going to change anybody's viewpoint as to what he truly can be in the NFL. So that's certainly something to wonder and, you know, think about, of course, with all of that. But I think the one thing where he's been lacking is his receiving ability. And I think that's where this year he's probably going to take a little bit more of a jump. You saw it a little bit last year. There was a prime example. It was last game of the season against Pittsburgh Steelers. And because Deshaun Watson's running ability is something that defenses have to worry about. You know, Nick Chubb basically curled out to the flat, and there was a linebacker responsible for Nick Chubb. And as Deshaun Watson started to challenge the line of scrimmage, Nick Chubb, using his brains, got further and further away from the guy who was supposed to be covering him. So as the guy decided he had to commit to Deshaun Watson, it created for a really easy throw for Nick Chubb, side of the end zone, touchdown. I think for Nick Chubb, even if there is a little bit of a tick down in maybe overall rushing yards this year, I think you're probably going to see Nick Chubb's most impressive statistical receiving season to this point. Because, you know, when he's not on the field, there really isn't much. He is right now essentially the best receiving back that they have on the roster. And I think that's, you know, something they want to tap into and do some different things with him. He's always had the ability. It's just that once they had Kareem Hunt, it was their choice to say, all right, well, let's take Nick off the field here because, you know, Kareem is just the better receiver. It wasn't that Nick wasn't capable. It's just you had a guy who was significantly better as a receiver, so they tried to take advantage of it. And then last year, as Kareem started to lose his juice, they noticed, you know, and started to use later in the season when Deshaun came back. Nick is a little bit more of a receiver.
Real quick, to end on Chubb. Jeff, I use Chubb a lot for as an example of like this era of running back. That like how many of these guys are even going to make like the Hall of Fame? You know, like legendary type careers. I feel like if he had existed in a different era, you know, now he's what? He's 27. Like you're on the back nine. In fact, you're maybe on your final couple holes as a running back when you reach that age. And like he doesn't get the fanfare Derrick Henry does. Henry's like the only guy though where it's like, yeah, that guy probably makes the Hall of Fame. And is that it? Like, I feel like Chubb's one of those guys where if he played in a different era, he might go down as a legend, but because he plays in today's NFL, I just don't think running backs have a wide lane to get there.
It's going to be something that's going to have to be viewed differently. I mean, you look at all these guys, and you know, are we going to see very many 10,000-yard rushers? I mean, you got to figure, if a guy runs for 1,000 yards a season, then that's pretty good. But what running backs actually get enough playing time? You know, who plays 10 years as a running back? And that's the issue. So I think eventually they're going to have to kind of skew and rework the numbers. It should be based on what you've done per season. Yeah. And you look at Nick Chubb, you know, predominant 1,200-yard back season in, you know, season in, season out. And he is in fantastic shape. He's, you know, there are no signs of any part of Nick's game slowing down, but it is just the realism of it. And, you know, I think with today's game, there's a lot more of, you know, teams, especially at the running back position, is we'll get out 1 year early as opposed to sticking around 1 year too late. So there is that factor to it. But, you know, these guys, you know, granted, you know, I mean, the top five, six, seven rushers in the NFL on paper right now, that's never going to change. Nobody's going to have the time. Nobody's going to be able to challenge those numbers because there's not going to be a guy that NFL franchises are going to invest in, you know, A for, you know, two contracts is rare now at running backs, let alone teams saying, all right, well, we're going to give $7-8 million to a running back in his 30s because we still think it just, you know, it really becomes tricky with the running back position. And I think eventually Hall of Fame wise, they're going to have to, you know, basically find a different way to look at the numbers and see if somebody's Hall of Fame worthy, because if you're going to base it off Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith, obviously nobody would ever see Canton again.
Yep.
Jeff, thanks, man. Always good to catch up. Maybe we'll do it again a little bit closer to the season, but hope you're well. And of course, keep it rolling, man, with the Locked On Browns podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Nah, thanks for everything, guys. Joe, Sal, you guys have a great day. Joe, good luck with everything.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. All right, Jeff. Jeff Floyd right there, Locked On Browns podcast. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour here. Got a phone call on hold, so we'll get to you real quick. Virgil, hold in there. I know you want to get on. We'll do that. We come back, and then Heather Prusak at the top of the hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.